from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Thursday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, foreign investment. Boy, it's been the downfall of our economy, hasn't it? The TPP U-turn from Ardern and her government. Double chins are being singled out, and retirement will not be happening now because none of us can afford it. But before any of that, Fairfax closing down many of its mastheads. What does Mike make of this?
Fairfax are a company in trouble, of course. Should the merger go ahead, NZME would be the bigger part of the equation. NZB is in much better health than Fairfax due to the fact that they've got a radio arm and a very successful one at that. Fairfax has got no radio. They've got papers and papers are dying. Fairfax print revenue dropped last year by 15%. Subscriptions dropped by over 4%. Now, here's the point that the Commission never seemed to get. One of the great arguments against the merger was the grandiosely termed plurality of voices in the marketplace. In other words, it's good to have lots of papers, lots of TV stations and radio stations so that we don't end up like China with the state producing the only news you ever hear. All of that's fine. Until it was pointed out, a point they chose to ignore, that the cold hard reality is Google and the like, the Facebooks, are killing the competition by sucking the advertising dollar out of the market. They grab the news, they stick it on their feed, and poor old Fairfax puts out another paper and no one reads it. Hence we are where we are. And where we are is the plurality of voices that the Commission so vehemently leapt on is being killed off anyway, as indeed Fairfax said they would be. So what's better? A combined company with potentially the resource and the size to survive and thrive in an extraordinarily competitive marketplace that's increasingly global, not local, or two companies, one of which is going down the Googler with the increasing numbers of people being out of work. If the end game, as Fairfax called it, is that Fairfax fall over and there is no Fairfax, what have you got? No merger and no company. Why? Who on earth is the winner in that? Perhaps the Commission could take their rationale and wisdom down to the offices of the Star or the Mail or the Tribune or the Eye and explain why they're right and the poor old Fairfax worker who's now out of a job just doesn't get it.
But to be honest, if there's anybody working for a newspaper that doesn't realise they're living on borrowed time, you're living in a dream world, aren't you? Maybe we could attract some foreign investment into the newspaper industry. Probably not.
51% of the money is Australian, so you can probably argue, given our status with them, it's not really even foreign money at all. But perhaps the most obvious flaw in the lobby group's argument is their outrage over the share market and the fact that 38% of it is offshore cash, whereas 30 years ago it was 19%, and 40 years ago, it was 5%. So let's extrapolate that out to, say, 100 years ago when it was none, because there wasn't a market. 100 years ago, we froze lamb and stuck it on boats to Britain. 100 years ago, we rode horses, hadn't discovered quinoa and espressos. In other words, the world changes and moves on, and the world has become increasingly connected. And as it has, it's shrunk. And as it has, we've used that shrinkage to our advantage to reach out to the world and tell the world we are open for business. In fact, we love business because that's how we turn a dollar and make money and create jobs, none of which the campaign against foreign control of Aotearoa seemed to get. By spouting stats from bygone eras, they appear to feel the bygone era is where they would like to be. The fact there was no foreign money in the market 40 years ago is held up as good news when in fact it's exactly the opposite. Yes, we want to manage who comes here, of course we do, and if people like Matt Lau want to buy a Central Otago farm and block access to trampers, then he's a prat who needs to be held to account. But this is not a fortress. And the world over, we see the fortresses, they're the ones who are crumbling. Those who turn inward miss the future, and the future is global.
Yes, and it seems like even Jacinda Ardern and Labor have decided that's the case as well, in spite of the fact that I'm pretty sure they weren't too keen on TPP just a little while ago. Mike's noticed the slight U-turn as well.
Yeah, so here's what was interesting about Jacinda Ardern and the TPP yesterday. I was listening to her on the radio and she goes, and for all of the people who sell beef to the world and sell grapes to the world, our wine industry, our farm industry, our dairy industry, this is going to be good news. And I went, excuse me? Did you wake up and discover free trade this morning? All of a sudden, somebody put a piece of paper in front of her and said, hey, this free trade thing, this is quite good. Oh, oh, yeah, the tariffs come down and it'll be, we'll be more efficient and we'll make more money. Oh, so everybody who's in the dairy industry, this is really good. And suddenly, they cannot be a bigger fan of free trade. Wake up and smell the business. $4 billion. Can't argue with it. And there's another text said this morning, where are all the protesters, eh? Why aren't you out on the streets now? Now that your Labour friends are in power, why aren't you out with your placards, pushing your kids to the front of the pile? Where are you? Eh? Suddenly they like it. Do you like it as well? Is what we've been arguing all along, that free trade's a good thing? Is Jane Kelsey the only person left in the country who doesn't like free trade?
Now, it's not really a political story, although David Seymour certainly has had his crack at fat-shaming people this week. But there are certainly probably a few MPs who would like to get rid of their double chins, lots of people. And there's a new technique that allows you to do this using synthetic stomach bile or something. It's all very strange. But the point is, it got us to talking.
I heard earlier it's a couple of $1,000, $2,000 or $3,000, if that's of interest to you.
What would you change?
Nothing. And a lot of people go, you must have had cosmetic surgery. A lot of people say that to me often. And I go, no, it's not. No, I've had nothing done. And they say, look at you. Surely just a little tuck, little couple.
So you're not trying to cover something up with your facial hair situation at the moment?
Not a single thing. No, you've never met a person more relaxed and happy with themselves.
Because you're a lot hairier than you were when you're on the telly. There seems to be some rule that you're not, unless you're Mark Sainsbury, you're not allowed ridiculous facial hair on TV.
No, that rule was, because of Mark Sainsbury, you weren't allowed facial hair on television because you ended up looking like Mark Sainsbury, and that wasn't good for the nation, and hence, where is he now?
I can't talk. I've got a ridiculous moustache at the moment, but there's a reason for it. It's for a part I'm playing in a musical. I'm in Centre Stage Theatre's production of Jesus Christ Superstar. Tickets selling fast. Get in there, get your tickets. And you can see me with a ridiculous moustache. It's not the only thing about my performance that'll be ridiculous, of course. Unfortunately. So, yes, when I retire, will I continue to do those sorts of shows and make a dick of myself on stage? Maybe. If I can afford to.
Do you want to be depressed? Can I depress you just quickly? I got depressed, so I thought I'd share my depression with you. They've done some work across the Tasman. No reason to believe the same numbers aren't applicable here. It's on retirement. It's what you need to retire. And none of us want to think about it because we all think, it'll be right. And that's why we've got a superannuation crisis, allegedly, in this country and most Western countries around the world, because suddenly we rely on the government when we're 65 and we're suddenly working out we're going to live for another 40 years. By 30, here are the basic calculations. See if you're up for it. By your 30s in general, you should have, you take your average income in the country, in this country, in the cities anyway, it's about $70,000 average income. So you should have a year's income in the bank. Do you have $70,000 in the bank right now if you're in your 30s? Plus, it's not over, plus you should be saving 12.5% of your income per year, which would be about another $8,000 a year on top of that. Plus, you need emergency savings to cover at least 3 to 6 months of expenses. That's if you're in your 30s. 40s, you need 3 years worth of income. So in other words, you should have $200,000 plus in the bank. Plus, you need to be saving 15% of your income. Plus, you need to have enough money to cover 6 to 12 months worth of emergency expenditure. 50s, basically by the 50s, you're buggered. It's the conclusion I came to. That's why I'll be working till I'm 212. You need six times your salary. In other words, you need 380 grand, 400 grand. You got 400 grand. If you're listening to me and you're 53, you got 400 grand in the bank. Plus, you need to be saving 20% of your income. Plus, you need 2 years' worth of emergency savings in the bank.
And you
wonder why I drink.
You've succeeded.
Yeah.
Isn't that a downer? Well, all I've ever wanted to do, my one driving ambition in life,
is to retire.
Yep.
And so, think about that.
I've been practicing my whole life
exactly.
For retirement.
So
I've been sitting on my bum doing nothing.
You got the numbers.
Whenever possible. We had some correspondence from somebody later on in the show suggesting that those Australian numbers were hyped up numbers that were all instigated by various different lending organisations over in Australia. And I keep saying this to Mike, you've got to stop extrapolating Australian data and comparing it to New Zealand situations because they are thick and we are not. It's That's just the reality. I am Glenn ZB. That was the re-wrap for Thursday. We'll be back here with a Friday one tomorrow. We'll wrap up some more anti-Australian sentiment then, maybe. Who knows?